Does the term PPIP ring any bells? Consider it short for your tax dollars at work.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Okay, maybe it's a little obscure, but the term PPIP stands for Public-Private Investment Program. It's a key piece of the Obama administration's efforts to bring the financial system back from the brink. And it turns out that 9 months into the program, it could be making a lot of money for taxpayers. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live this morning with an update. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, Bob.
So how much money is this program supposed to be bringing in?
The New York Times reports that it's made an estimated 15.5% return for taxpayers. That's on paper more than $650 million. I talked to the guy who calculated those figures for the Times, Linus Wilson, at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He warns that the profits might just be luck and may not last.
It's very early. So these are 8 to 10 year investments, and we're not even a year in. So we won't really know what happens until these investments are exited or we have an independent audit of these programs.
Wilson also says if you include the money that taxpayers loaned these funds to make the investments, the return is more like 5.5%.
Okay, we're talking about PPIP. I don't think many of us are real familiar with that term, though, right?
Right. Well, it started back in the scary days after the financial crisis. The Obama administration was trying to revive the market for all those mortgage-backed securities that were weighing on bank balance sheets. No one wanted to buy them, so they became almost worthless. In setting up this program, the Treasury Department chose a handful of private investment firms, gave them matching money and cheap loans to start buying up some of those troubled assets. There was quite a bit of skepticism, but these returns show that the program may have helped revive the market. And in its response to the Times, the Treasury Department says it's happy with the performance so far.
Marketplace's Amy Scott live. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Later in the coming hour, we get the government's latest estimates on the growth rate of the American economy. It's widely expected to have slipped back into low gear, and that's already doing a number on the numbers. After the Dow closed back below the 10,000 mark yesterday, Asian markets struggled to find some confidence and turned in mixed results today. At this hour, the major European indexes are up a hair, holding near the center line, though. Wall Street will also be watching closely when Fed Chief Ben Bernanke delivers his latest take on the economy to a conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, in a couple of hours. British researchers have successfully mapped the genetic makeup of wheat. And they've released the raw data today. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports now on how the scientific breakthrough could help wheat farmers around the world.
Cracking the genetic secrets of this humble plant means scientists can now start to develop wheat crops better able to cope with harsh conditions. We've already seen the effect of droughts and wildfires in Russia on the price of wheat this summer. Russia banned sales of wheat to other countries in an attempt to keep the cost of bread under control. Professor Mike Bevan is director of the John Innes Centre in Norwich, which worked on the project. He says this new research will also help farmers increase production.
Because in the next 20 or 30 years, there will be many more mouths to feed in the world, and wheat has a very important role to play in feeding the world's population.
And doing that will also help to stabilise food prices. It's predicted that within the next 40 years, world food production will need to increase by 50%. And other scientists say this breakthrough gives companies the tools to breed new plants using either conventional or genetically modified techniques. But if you ever thought wheat was a simple crop, just think. Its genetic code is 5 times longer than humans. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
New York recently became one of the last states to switch to no-fault divorce. That means couples can dissolve a marriage without the need for one spouse to accuse the other of misbehavior like adultery. We wondered how the new law might affect those who make their living off suspicious spouses.
My name is J. Sal Peter. I'm a retired New York City detective. And since 1992, I've been a licensed private investigator in New York State. My experience, 98.5% of spouses that come in here to speak to me 98.5 of their spouses are cheating. When we start a surveillance, you know, I hope they have a nice evening out, because if they have a nice evening out, I have a nice evening out. So if they go into a nice restaurant, I will tell you I'm going in too. There's so many stories. We've trailed someone to Bermuda. We've trailed someone to Mexico. You have your typical cases, but then you always have your interesting cases. I've had a couple. I mean, a husband of a school teacher hire me to follow his wife when she left school. The good news was it wasn't another man, but the bad news, it was another female school teacher. You know, in other businesses, unfortunately, when laws change, you know, you lose business. I have no fear in this law coming into effect, because it comes down to, I want to know. I need to know if my spouse is cheating. They really want to have closure. I have no doubt in my mind that it will not affect my business one bit.
Jay Salpeter's story came to us from producer Sally Herships. Finally this morning, speaking of things that go on behind closed hotel room doors, fess up, you traveling businessmen. Now wait, it's not what you're thinking. The British-based hotel chain Travelodge has reunited customers with more than 75,000 teddy bears and other stuffed animals in just the last 12 months, and the chain got curious. It's interesting enough that 35% of the adults surveyed admit they sleep with their teddy for comfort away from home, but you might find it even more surprising that 25% of men, 1 in 4, take their stuffed animals away on business. By the way, I'd like it if you didn't tell anybody, but mine's named Fluffy. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Oh, teddy bear. Oh, let me be. Oh, let him be your teddy bear. I just want to be your teddy bear.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.